Welcome to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Senator Kevin Bacon, a Republican senator out of Ohio. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Great. Good evening, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate your being on. The climate is interesting in states surrounding the Great Lakes right now. What's going on in Wisconsin? Here in Michigan, we're having, of course, we're talking about what some are perceiving as anti-union bills and with governors and so forth. And the three states share a lot of things in common. So I'm thrilled that you're able to talk to us. Ohio did something interesting this week. They've taken some action on some of these bills with collective bargaining. If you could start with telling us some action that the Senate took this week in the state of Ohio.
Sure. We did pass a collective bargaining reform bill. It passed out of the Senate by a vote of 17-16 on Wednesday. So that bill will now go to the House. It will be assigned to a committee, and then they'll of course set that process out there as well.
Now it's a slim margin, but it's a victory.
Yes.
My question is, it was passed, but there's collective bargaining is in it, but it looks kind of conditional to me.
Yeah, what it is, and there have been it's amazing some of the hysteria that we've had because unions and organizations put out information about the bill that's false, and I without a doubt people are very concerned about it, and I don't question that, but the bill itself, first of all, does not take away collective bargaining rights from anyone. It does change, though, how we will do collective bargaining as we go forward. And the intent of the statute, the bill, when you read it, you'll notice we don't address union issues at all. It's all the collective bargaining process. And what we're trying to do is give local and state government more flexibility in the event of a down economy. And that's really the goal here. I mean, what we're seeing is budgets blossoming and just careening out of control. When you have automatic pay and cost of living adjustments and pay increases each year, the balloon gets bigger, and then the next pay increase is even bigger. They have to be able to adjust in the event of a bad economy, or eventually the balloon will burst, and we have a lot of local communities in really bad shape right now financially, as is happening all over the nation.
Well, and the parallels are rather astonishing between Michigan, Wisconsin, and Ohio. Now, now in Michigan, our governor has said that he will work, is willing to sit down with the unions and work on this, and is not talking about eliminating collective bargaining at this point. Wisconsin is going a different direction. What is the reaction? This bill was just passed 2 days ago in Ohio. What kind of feedback are you getting, or pushback, if that be the case?
Sure. Oh, it has been a very galvanizing issue on both sides. There is no doubt, and I can definitely appreciate the good teachers and firefighters and police officers and state workers. It's the fear of the unknown, and I don't they do great work, and I don't I can understand their concerns. So what we've had is, obviously, the opposition was very, very vocal. We probably had on upward of 10,000 people protesting the state house. Anytime we would hold a hearing, I would hold a hearing. I'm chairman of the Insurance Commerce Labor Committee. We would have, a considerable crowd issue. We probably got blitzed somewhere around 20,000 emails over the last few weeks, and, probably getting 500 to 1,000 calls a day. Much of them, I think, were robo-generated. So without a doubt, most of those were opponents. But then you have a lot of people out there. The response was still good on the other side. It's just people who believe that this reform needs to be done, aren't necessarily going to come and rally, although we did have some people that were for it that did. So we got a lot of nice emails and calls throughout on people that were supportive. But the big thing now is that we need to engage in an education effort. Once the bill, now that the bill's passed, so that people understand what the bill says, just because there's been so much false information that's been spread out there.
Was this about, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, Senator,
sure.
Was this about union busting?
No, it wasn't, and that's what, I know that's what they're calling it. Obviously, the unions aren't going to like it. I'm not trying to pretend here that this is something that the unions are going to like? Of course not. I mean, you know, they have, at least in state statute in Ohio, and I can't speak to Michigan, they have so much leverage that is ingrained in statute. And what happens is if you are in a time of fiscal crisis, there's no other way to reverse that than a tax increase. And what we're seeing, what we're trying to do is give the local governments the opportunity to adjust if they need to. And the thing that should be highlighted, if they want to keep paying at the same rate they're paying now, they can. The two sides are still going to be able to negotiate that. So without a doubt, it still affords them the rate to collectively bargain, but we just have to provide some flexibility to our current statute.
Do you see this in general with the atmosphere in the country about these kinds of issues, collective bargainings and state employees and unions? It's feeling a little bit to me like there's a kind of a fundamental shift that's starting to happen in relation to the unions. Am I wrong?
There is, and what is driving it, I wouldn't say a fundamental shift. I'd say more with respect to the collective bargaining process, because what we're seeing is the perfect storm is upon us. Most states are facing a significant deficit. In Ohio, it's about $8.5 billion. You know, our local communities are facing large deficits as well. So since this is popping up all over the country, people are realizing, and with the support of many editorials here in Ohio, and I should note even the Dayton Daily, which I'd say a very left-leaning editorial board, even said we're not going far enough. But, you know, there's this recognition that this is one piece of the puzzle. It's not the whole gamut. For a long-term fix, we have to make some adjustments in the statute to stop this from happening. I mean, we just can't handle tax increases right now. It's just too difficult on the taxpayers.
Well, it is. And so next, this bill moves to the House in Ohio?
Yes.
And what is the look at how it will work, go through the House?
Mm-hmm. It'll get assigned to a committee, and then granted it passes out of committee, it'll go to the full House. And I would suspect, based on what I've heard, that they will pass a bill, but it's the legislative process. You know, I would also expect that some changes would be made to the bill. I don't know what changes. Just rarely does a bill like that come through a body without amendments being tacked on. So, you know, we're kind of keeping an eye on it. Speaker Batchelder is a pro. He's been around a long time. He's very smart and full of wisdom, and he'll, you know, without a doubt, knows how to steer something like this through.
So to you and your fellow Republicans, for the most part, the idea is getting this through will help make some shifts that gives government more flexibility and communities and municipalities more flexibility to try to lower this cost and attack the budget losses.
Yes, absolutely, and that's what we're trying to do. And when you look at what we've done, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, do you trust your city council members, your trustees, your school boards? And, you know, what I have found, I mean, I was a township trustee some years ago, and I've talked to plenty of school board members and council members, and most of them really do share the same vision, the same passion as their employees. They want to make the place better. They want to have good fire safety. They want to have good police safety. They want to do well. They want their children to do well as far as education. You know, the thought that this is somehow going to just explode and be really bad for the employees, you know, my opinion just isn't true. I think what we're going to have is a fair process, you know, and one in which both sides can work together. And there are components of the bill that permit transparency, would require transparency. That's important, too. A lot of this, too, is just exposing the agreements that are in place, the taxpayer finally has a seat at the table. They know that in the end, the taxpayer is going to see the deal that they struck. They're going to see the contract. And people act differently when transparency is a component to the process, in my opinion.
Well, absolutely. Senator, I can't thank you enough for your time. And I'd love to be able to call you again and talk to you about this as the process goes through and see how it goes.
Anytime, would love to.
I appreciate it so much. We've been speaking with Republican Senator Kevin Bacon of Ohio. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.